Rhiannon Higgins, good afternoon.
Oh, how are you, Brendan?
Great, and it's always a pleasure to have you here in corporeal rather than on the line from Galway.
Thank you.
So, Rhiannon, it's that time in your life and your career. You've brought out a greatest hits.
That's it. Yeah,
you're like Phil Collins or one
no,
of them.
Like
yeah.
Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra.
And
12, drawn from 12 books, 40 years of writing poetry. So you know, it's time for a retrospective. Mm-hmm. And there's some new work there as well. It's called Jiving with Wasps. Why is it called Jiving with Wasps?
I always go for a line in a poem. You know, and I like a clever title. I hope you think it's clever.
I do.
And really, wasps often get stuck in the net curtains trying to get in. We could be the wasps stuck there.
Is
in
that
the
what it is, yeah?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it might be as well. You're a bit waspy too, like.
Briar, my father used to say.
Really, yeah. Like it's not nice poems about flowers, like. You sting, like, don't you?
I do sting, but.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you left school at 14 and straight into the factory working.
Factories,
yeah.
Because we had the industrial estate near us in Merview.
And that was the kind of, that was the route for a lot of you, wasn't
that
it?
That was it.
Yeah.
Shirt factory, buckle factory, digital. And then they all left.
Right. And when did the poetry come?
After the I had TB in 1977, after Heather's birth. And I went into the sanatorium and then I went to a workshop and started with prose. And somebody at the workshop said, it was a salmon workshop, by the way. Somebody said, you're mixing up your tenses. You have to either, you're going into the past, the future and the present. But so then I thought I'll stick to the poetry because it doesn't need a verb. I didn't know what a verb was. You could write a poem without a verb.
Yeah.
And I just thought the poetry was easier. That I'd have to learn so much to write the short story. But I didn't have to learn anything to write the poetry.
And did they start coming then, yeah?
They did, and be getting one or two published. And then I had one published, like after a while then, I had Oxford University invited me to read and Cork Prison. And I thought, geez, I must be doing something right. I better stick with it.
And so did you, when did you call yourself a poet then? When
will you stop now with that? I'm not in the door now and you're at that.
No,
trying
I'm not
to,
at anything.
That's a snag. But like, no,
it's not snide. I mean there must
but,
be some point where I still wouldn't, if people say, what do you do? I'd say this and that, like, you know, you don't tend to. But would you,
no,
there
Brenda,
must be some point you go, I am a poet actually.
No, I don't. I wouldn't. Now, here's the residue of the Catholic past.
Yeah.
That would involve praise. I wouldn't call myself a poet in a fit. I could say I'm a writer. But that's okay.
Yeah. And come here, I suppose, like, it'd be wrong to say class is a theme of your poetry, but your poetry is probably a bit more of that school of the vernacular working class life than a lot of poetry that people might know from school or that. Do you see yourself as a working class poet?
Well, that would require me taking on that mantle.
Yeah.
I'm not going there. I think class is involved in my work a lot. Class is involved work. You know, I come from a working class background. You see, if you take on the yokel or the mantle, you have to then defend it in the next match.
I hear you.
So I'm happy the way things are going and without taking on any titles, apart from the title you gave me as Poet Laureate, which is will do me.
Yes, yes.
I'll take that.
It was Pandemic Poet Laureate, but you know what? We can leave the pandemic. No, just,
well,
just
where can I cash that? No, that's
Poet
right.
Laureate. Yeah, yeah. But I suppose, looking back over the book now, a lot of it is, I wouldn't say angry, but spiky about working class lives and women's lives.
That's right, yeah. And Yeah, and it changed then. It developed, like, the more I read then, I suppose, it developed a bit over the years, you know. And the earlier poems were kind of, like, very fresh and very raw. Like, we'd say the first book, Goddess on the Merview Bus. And then, you know, you'd be influenced very much by what you see and what you hear. With me, it's kind of the overheard thing.
Yeah.
So a lot of the poems come from that, you know. And that's where the dialogue kind of floods the poems, really. And that would be overheard stuff, but then you'd add a little bit to it.
Okay. And do they suggest themselves?
Yeah, you know, they but you
are
welcome
them. Are you straining
them,
like, for their... You
I never...
Down to
I,
strain
Brent, they, Brendan, no? Do I look like someone who's strained, someone who spends their life right on the couch watching Netflix, telling everyone she's reading in the box room? No, I don't strain.
Right.
No.
You just, they're given to you, are they?
Well, I don't want to do this thing about poetry being mysterious, because it isn't, yeah, really. But yet, if something
you don't
is,
want to give away the juju here, either, I can tell. Like, yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah.
But if a poem is coming, I'll entertain it. You know, I welcome this now, and I'll write down whatever's coming, and then I'll work on it later today. Or
okay, so bring it in for tea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to read a few poems for us as we go along. So I suppose on what we've been saying there about the early poems, there's a terrific poem on page 18. I know you have your book there. Yeah. Tommy's Wife.
Okay. Tommy's Wife. She wasn't always this bitter. I knew her when she sang in pubs. She was younger then and free. A happy life she spent. Working in Woolworths, she kept herself well. Blue eyeshadow. She married for the sake of the kid. A lot of envelopes she received the day. It started out well for her. The family stood by her then. Tommy looked strong, many friends like Skinner's sex and unemployment. She lost blue eyeshadow first year. Sarah now 5 months teething hard. She didn't sing in pubs anymore. She wasn't as friendly as before. The other 3 children didn't delay. She remembered wearing blue eyeshadow. The coal man hated calling now. He didn't understand her anger. Tommy looks strong, many friends, like Skinner's sex and unemployment.
Yeah. Now, you could have written a short story and not said half of that, couldn't you? You could have written a novel and not condensed that life into it.
It was always easier for me to put anything I needed to say in the poem.
Yeah.
And I'd rather it to kind of panels. I never go on panels. I hate them.
I know. Sure, that said more than any panel. Okay. Did becoming a poet, as you didn't, did that change your life?
Well, it gave me a good life in that I was flavour of the month there for ages, and I was getting trips everywhere. I get trips nowhere now because you wouldn't want to be travelling really at the moment, you know, in this precarious world. But when I was younger, like, I did get trips, and it was nice to be going here and there. And that part of it was fantastic, you know. That really, the nice hotels and the nice flights and things like that, you know. That was, I loved that. I just loved the escape of it.
Oh, yeah, I'd say so, yeah. And so when you say you were flavour of the month, like,
well, there'd be a period in your life where you'd be, everybody'd want you, and then nobody'd want you. You know what I mean? Like, there'd be certain times, maybe now after this book.
Oh, no, you've made a late stage surge in the last half a decade, I would say.
Yeah,
no,
I think
question.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And Camille, would the other poets have been mainly more, I won't say elitist, but would they have been a different background to you in a different kind of thing?
Well,
like, how did the poetry community
we'll just take two at the top, we'll say. We'll take Seamus Heaney. Not that I'm making any comparison between me and the two that I
understood.
But when I met Seamus Heaney, anytime I ever met him, he always got in before I got in, and he'd say, "How's the poetry going?" And he'd made you feel completely at ease and chatted and extraordinarily friendly. Like, he was a Nobel winner, you know.
Yeah.
And he would stop and, you know, if you met him at a reading, or you'd meet them on the circuit.
Yeah.
And I really thought...
So he had tremendous grace, did he?
Oh, he did, you know, and he gave you the impression he knew your work. It didn't matter whether he did or not, but he would say, how are you, how's it going for you now, and what's next? And so you kind of couldn't get at him then because he was in with the questions first. He was extraordinarily generous to writers.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Okay, so it's good welcome overall from people. Yeah,
yeah.
You said no, you're going to talk about two. I think we leave out the second one
because
I presume it's not the same story.
We're not saying it. They'll be ringing in to know who the second one is now.
And come here, the poems are funny too. And like I think, you know, a great thing about them is that people who might be afraid of poetry get them, but they're also funny. Is that a way, is that a deliberate kind of way of making them accessible?
Well, I think you can't fake funny. There's a few things in life you can't fake, really, you know. So if it's in there, you know, it's a good thing that there's humour in there because you wouldn't be able to be beating people over the head with poems, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Poems of a very serious nature.
Yes.
Unless they kind of, you know, you could ease them into it with a bit of humour.
Totally,
yeah.
The spoonful of sugar.
That's
okay,
it.
You're going to read another poem for us now. So page 168.
Grandchildren. It's not just feasible at the moment, one daughter tells me, what with Seamus still robbing banks and ramming Garda vans when he gets emotional on a fish-free Friday in February. Maybe the other daughter could deliver. She thinks not. Not at the moment, anyway, while Thomas still has a few tattoos to get to cover any remaining signs that might link him with the rest of us. Just now, a B-52 bomber flies over on its way from Shannon to make a gulf in some nation's genealogy. The shadow it places on all our notions is crystal clear, and for a split of a second helping, it juxtaposes the pecking order. Now bank robbers and tattooers have as much or as little standing as popes and princes, and grandchildren become another lonely utterance, impossible to pronounce.
Okay, a bit more punch there now. You're very close to your own grandchildren, aren't you?
I am. I have four. We have four boys. And the younger ones, Jennifer's three, just informed me they don't want any more walking in the race course. It's too boring. So that's...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And was that an important part of your
Well, I liked it up there because there was no dogs. And, you know, it was good for them and good for me and good for Jennifer. And we did it often. But, you know, it's good for them too to be able to say enough already with the boring walks around the race course.
Yeah.
You know? They have other things to do. They're 10.
Or maybe you find slightly more attractive things to do with them now. You have to up your game.
Yeah, no, they're cheeky enough now, mind you, these days. But sure, I'm mad about them.
Yeah, and I think you learn a lot from them as well, do you?
Oh, I do, of course. Yeah, absolutely do. You couldn't, you know, they're so informed. You know, they learn a lot from their tablets, even though I'm always giving out about them, being on this and on that. But
stop panicking about the book. We'll find the next
one.
Okay,
no, I have it. I have it.
You're distracted by it, yeah.
No, I'm not a bit distracted.
Yeah. So, and I feel I'm tiptoeing around this now because you can say what you want to say.
No,
but
no,
you learned a bit about yourself from them as well, in a sense, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, you see, they don't have that filter that adults would have. Adults would be plumbing you, but children don't do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just come out with, oh, God, that awful coat, or, you know, not so much an insult about your clothes, but just they're always on the dollar, like, about things and... Just the sharpness of them, I suppose, really.
Yeah.
I love their conversation.
And I suppose part of being a poet as well is you have to keep that, A, the honesty, and B, to look at things like kind of without all the filters that all of us have on when we take things for granted around us. You have to see things kind of clearly,
exactly.
Kind of differently wired a bit to see things that way, are you?
Yeah, I don't know, maybe so. But I know that children grow up so quickly. You have such a short time to be with your grandchildren because they're already, as they say, as Axel says, I'm double digits. They're 10, you know, 10 and 9. So, and Oisín is 17.
Yeah.
So.
Now that they're old enough to start reading the poems, do you think you'll start toning down the sexy ones?
Well, no more than the grandchildren poem, that was actually written some years ago, you know, and it's still relevant, the whole thing about Shannon. And the thing about the erotic poems, I don't know. I will welcome any kind of a poem, you know. It's better than no poem at all. And I didn't ever analyse it to say, oh God, you can't say that. You know, I never felt like that, and I never felt I needed anybody's permission to write them either, you know.
Yeah, but I'd say these days now, like, there's nothing brave about writing a sexy poem.
No.
But you kind of straddled, didn't you?
Yeah,
that's the wrong word. But that the older Ireland of repression and everything, that's what you grew up in, is it?
Yeah, and that, we're going in now to Sunnyside Plucked, so that poem, and that was, I suppose, it was a little bit daring at the time. It was still 1986, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just didn't feel that I should, you know, I had to be true to myself as well with the way the poems were coming to me. And women were very repressed in Ireland at that time. My God.
Still in 1986,
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
When do you think we got liberated? Are we liberated still sexually yet?
I think it's slow progress. And I think, you know, we've had progressives, like we've had wonderful things like the divorce referendum and gay marriage and all that. But I think still there's a little bit of the old dark ages there, you know.
Do you think? Yeah, around the edges.
Around the edges.
So page 33. So this is from your early erotic phase. Now, this is playfully sexy, I would say, in case anyone's jumping to turn off the radio. Sunnyside Plucked.
We met outside the Seconds chicken van at the market. He was very American. I was very married. We chatted about the homemade marmalade I bought 2 miles from home. He said the eggs were big. I said he'd been eating his carrots. Do you always buy Seconds chickens? Only when I come late. The witch in me wanted to scramble his eggs. The devil in him wanted to pluck my chicken. We parted with an agreement written by the eyes. Now, there was no universe where I said that to somebody.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a frisson, or there might be a tiny little speck of something that would inspire that.
Yeah.
But then you make it bigger in your imagination and you go with it. But more than that too, like it goes into the social poems, because there was such a thing as Seconds chickens, and they were damaged chickens that you couldn't afford the proper full chicken. So you bought a damaged chicken, a Seconds. There was a Seconds chickens van at the market in Galway.
Yeah. But you know what was free? A little bit of frisson. And it wasn't going to get anyone in trouble either. We must never forget that a little bit of frisson is still legal. And it's
nice little thing to
keep us sane. Yeah. Listen, Rhiannon, a lot of the poems you write are sometimes dedicated to people.
Yeah.
And I know that some of the people you dedicated poems to are family members from whom you're now estranged, but you put the dedications in the book, reprinted again.
I left them in because I didn't want revisionism to be part of it, you know?
Yeah.
I just thought, well, that was that part of my history and my life, and the dedication then was for this and this and this person. And I thought, as they say, let it stand. So I left them as they were.
Yeah, because that was the moment. And
that was
where you were at in the moment. Yeah. We won't get into the details of estrangement or anything, but just a general question. Does a poet, like, I suppose, like a lot of writers, do you have to have the chip of ice too? And like sometimes can you betray people and be seen as betraying people, or what they might think is betrayal?
Well, I certainly would never betray anybody.
But you know, they do say a writer in the family is a curse, like that everyone will get.
A wasp in the family.
There you go. Yeah. You've read us one poem at least about your father before. He had a tricky relationship. There's a very short one on page 116. I presume this is about your dad, is it?
Yeah. Peter, I was dodging him for years. Now he's dead. I'm dying for his shadow. Again, that was a vignette. You know, that was just like that. You either take it. And I had the choice to put that in. I mean, I could have kept it out, but I thought, because we did omit a lot of poems from the collection. It was, you know, it was edited.
Yeah.
So, but like that, it's okay for me.
Read it again there, because I'd say half the country now will get it.
So I put the Latin on it because I couldn't say father.
Yeah.
So Peter, I was dodging him for years. Now he's dead. I'm dying for his shadow.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make me sad now to read that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No, but it's like a lot of your poems. It's kind of a truth bomb, you know?
Yeah.
Come here. Does this make you feel your age now, having a retrospective?
I don't get this thing of age at all.
Yeah.
I'm very delighted with the growing older thing. Like,
are you?
You know,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we mind each other and we're kind to each other. And that's all that... old age, that's what old age is about for us, you know, talking about himself and myself,
yeah,
you know, Darby
yeah.
and Joan. So yeah. It's kind of like, that's fine.
And I suppose once your health is holding up.
Health is everything, like,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, and it's reasonably okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's another great one, actually. We won't have time for it now, but MRI, about you getting an MRI. We won't do it now, but people can look it up or buy the book. Or whatever. Come here, great friends of Michael D and a fellow poet in the community and everything. So he's back in Galway now. Are you seeing more of him now around?
Well, he's very active.
Is he? Yeah.
And Sabina, you'd see them at things like, and I think he's been given a few awards. I often see in the paper that he's been presented with awards. And indeed, our current president and was at an event recently, and he was also at the event. Catherine Connolly was at the event, and he was at the event. So, like,
star-studded.
I mean, to know two.
Is it like two Irish people in the Big Brother house? Remember, always if there was two Irish people in the Big Brother house, it was always a bit.
No. Yeah. I think we have two great people,
and they're coexisting peacefully down in Galway when they need to. Very good. Listen, your final poem is a little bit political. You were invited on a family holiday to Florida recently and you decided not to go, yeah?
Oh, yes, I didn't go. No, I didn't want...
You wouldn't go to America now, no?
Not at the moment, no. I wouldn't have any interest in going, and... I just couldn't do it at the moment. You know, I'd be very unhappy to be there right now. You know, I want to, you know, my daughter was going and himself went and her son. But I the invitation was there for me, but I didn't take it up. And Christy has a very bad chest infection since he came back. So I said to him, there you go now.
Yeah. Okay, so Pandora's cousins.
Pandora's cousins are small enough to be Asian hornets, but not big enough to be men. They are out of the box and flying all over the internet, harpies and harbingers of all things spiteful. They trawl and crawl and doom scroll the livelong night. They sleep when the damage is done. Their chosen subjects fluctuate between skin colour and foreigners, weight and gender. They hurl barbed slurs. They are taking our jobs and other worn-out tropes that yawn at the seams, and always with the, where are you really from? As the chasm gets bigger, there is no safe place for the sensitive child, teenager, woman or man who accidentally fumble into their toxic arc. They knuckle down on the road less travelled, which is where they stay, in that small room upstairs. Pandora's cousins multiply exponentially like a virus with no breaks, not to mind a conscience or a keyboard kind word.
Okay. Someone texted in that poem. I presume she's talking about Pater. That poem could have been about my mother. Someone else says, Rhiannon is not a different class, different tribe. I had no interest in poetry until about 12 years ago when I saw Rhiannon Higgins live reading poems that were about ordinary life, ordinary people that resonated with me. The first poem she read that evening was Goddess on the Merview Bus, and I was hooked on her poetry and others like Paula Meehan ever since. So there you go. You sold a few books for Paula Meehan, Rita Ann. I've so enjoyed this interview. I love it every time you interview Rita Ann. Love her poems. And, you know, it is fantastic that people feel... I think one or two poets that are accessible to you, like when I was a kid, there were North of England kind of Mancunian vernacular poets who were kind of tied to the music scene. But it was a way that we got into to poetry just through one or two and realised, OK, this is something I can do. Is there a TV series in the pipeline?
Well, I'm working on a TV series now. I have 4 episodes done, but it will take 4 years to get it to screen. That's if everything goes to plan.
Really, yeah.
And we're only at the early stages. I'm working away on it, and they'll probably send somebody in to rip it apart after, but I won't care. Then sure, Netflix will be waving the check.
Exactly. Listen, let it go and let them do what they want. Yeah.
Let go and let God.
Okay, yeah. It must be require much more patience than writing a poem.
Well, actually, it's a lot of dialogue, and it's what I do, and I kind of work with the team to get to the first stage of the preparation for an application for funding for development. So there was people behind me.
What kind of thing is it?
It's a dark comedy 6-part TV series, but you probably have to have 3 series ready
before. Do you?
Yeah, well, you probably do, but
and are you working well as part of a team? Because
that was just the first part when they were had to fill in forms and it was
all that.
Oh no, I work alone. You know, they don't write anything yet, but they may.
Very good, but leave them at it. Yeah. Come here. It strikes me you're kind of part of the establishment now, are you?
Ah, well, you can wait.
you've been accepted into the establishment. They took their nod from here. Finally. Rita Ann, it's always lovely to talk to you. Driving with Wasps is in bookshops now. It's published by Blood Axe. And you'll be in conversation, Rita Ann, with Maurice Earls, the owner of Books Upstairs on Dublin's Delir Street. Oh, today
at
2 p.m.
Today at 2 o'clock.
Okay. You'll also be in conversation with the author Adele Coffey at the closing event. The closing event of the Court International Festival of Literature. You are the establishment now. In the McLally Theatre in Galway on April 26th. And you'll be reading at the Heinrich Boll. Memorial Festival in Achill Island on May the 2nd. Well, Rita Ann, good luck with it. It's a well-deserved look back on a terrific life and career. It's a great book. I knew a lot of the poems already, but I really got a lot of lovely moments out of going through it again and finding new ones and everything. And it is poetry for everybody. It absolutely is. Yeah. Rita Ann Higgins, Gormila Margot, we'll take a break. Email Brendan at rte.ie.